he did it. He finally did it. Sami Zayn, you know, at different points on SmackDown over the last few months, really, Sami Zayn has made different members of the Bloodline crack, right? He's done it with Roman Reigns. Jimmy Uso is cracking up every single week. And Jey Uso, he's had a few close calls. But tonight was the first night he was able to crack them all up at the same time. Except Solo. Solo Sikoa kept the poker face. Solo Sikoa, you know, he's the enforcer. So he's got to be out there. He's got to have a straight face. I didn't see Solo crack up. But I cannot say the same for Roman Reigns and for Jey Uso. What a fantastic segment. I feel like this is the recurring theme here on SmackDown. A fantastic segment involving the Bloodline tonight. That, honestly, was the best part of the entire show. This show peaked with the opening segment. I was feeling very oozy in the opening segment, and the rest of the show was just kind of ho-hum. Not a bad show, but nothing overly exciting about it. It really was all about that opening segment, and the build for Crown Jewel continues to bore. We also had another Bray Wyatt segment tonight, and tonight, for the first time, we got a dead-on view of Uncle Howdy. Now, I want you to take a look at Uncle Howdy here. Uncle Howdy actually kind of reminds me, he's kind of like the love child of the Burger King and the Leprechaun from the movie. But he does bear a striking resemblance. Somebody made the comment on before in the chat, and they're right. He does bear a resemblance, maybe not entirely in this photo, but a resemblance to Bray's real-life uncle, Barry Windham. There's a solemn monster dancing on Uncle Howdy's face. I think that's how Barry Windham used to dance back in the day. Barry Windham wishes that he had dance moves like that. Are you fucking kidding me? But yeah, Uncle Howdy is, he's kind of creepy. Emma is back in WWE, and the crowd goes mild. Not a great reaction for Emma, and honestly, not a very great return for Emma tonight in the open challenge, accepting Ronda Rousey's challenge for the SmackDown Women's Championship. We have two new matches announced for Crown Jewel, both of which are championship matches. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the rest of the show. This is your Friday Night SmackDown review, the final SmackDown for the month of October. Final SmackDown before Halloween, October 28, 2022. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you so much for hanging out with me on a Friday night. So let's get into this. We're gonna peak early tonight. We're gonna start out with the best thing on the entire show. The best thing on any wrestling show tonight. I'm not even watching Rampage at the moment, and I guarantee you there is nothing as good as this. SmackDown open tonight with the Brawling Brutes coming to the ring, minus Sheamus, after the injury angle they did with him last week. Michael Cole on commentary said that Sheamus was at home with a... I want to make sure I get this right. Sheamus was at home with a non-displaced fracture of the radial head of the elbow. Did you get all that? A non-displaced fracture of the radial head of the elbow. I want to make sure we get the diagnosis correct here. Said that he is currently at home in an elbow brace with limited range of motion, and he is undergoing intense physical therapy. So loosely translated, what that means is that Sheamus got married today. That's where Sheamus was. Sheamus was off getting hitched. Congratulations to the happy couple. I saw the photo of him. He was wearing the kilt. Beautiful bride. There was Drew McIntyre as his best man. I saw Miro was there. He was one of the groomsmen. Or maybe he was also a best man. I don't know. I assume he was one of the groomsmen for the ceremony. So if any fans who are going to the WWE event on Sunday in Glasgow are wondering why Drew McIntyre is not on the card, of all people, why would you not have Drew McIntyre in Scotland on Sunday? Now you know why. He was at his best friend's wedding. So the Brawling Brutes are in the ring waiting for the Bloodline, and we go back to the gorilla position. We see the Bloodline getting ready for the opening match. Sami Zayn told Jey Uso tonight, it was all hands on deck. Everyone needs to be at their best. Roman Reigns was not there yet, and he was not obviously going to be very happy about what happened last week when the Bloodline lost. So he needs Jey to make sure that they all get their hands raised at the end of the night. says, can you do that? Can you do tonight what you did for me a few weeks ago against Kofi Kingston? He says, I did see what you did. I saw that you helped me beat Kofi Kingston. Can you do that tonight? Can I rely on you? And Jay gave him a yeet, and off they went to the ring. It was Sammy and Solo Sikoa against Butch and Ridge Holland. Holland and Butch hit Zane with a double-team version of the 10 beats early in the match as a tribute to their fallen comrade. A little while later, Jimmy Uso took a cheap shot at Butch while the referee was caught up with Solo. And Butch made a comeback. He ended up sending Sammy out to the floor, hit him with a flying knee off the apron. Sikoa hit Butch from behind, slammed him onto the ring apron, heading into the first commercial of the night. So later on, Butch avoided a Blue Thunderbomb, tried for a cloverleaf, but there was a distraction from Jimmy Uso that took his eye off the ball. Sammy hit an exploder in the corner, set up for the Huluva kick. Butch avoided it, landed an enziguri. There was a spot in here where Butch rolled up Sammy for a schoolboy, and Michael Cole referred to him as Dunn. So we got a Pete Dunn reference on this show. See, old habits die hard. So Butch headed up to the top rope. Jay pulled Sammy out to the floor, out to safety, because he saw that Butch was getting ready to come off the top rope and do something to Sammy. Jay dragged him out of the ring, and Sammy got up in Jay's face and said, what are you doing? I had him where I wanted him. I had the match well in hand. And Jay said, well, it didn't look like that from my vantage point. Solo Sikoa got between the two of them. It was starting to get heated. He was trying to keep the peace. Ridge Holland ran over. He shoulder blocked Sikoa and Jay. Sammy crawled back into the ring. Butch caught him with an inside cradle, and he pinned him for the surprise finish here. The Brawling Brutes get a win over the Bloodline. Jay Uso was in the ring after this match was over. All the members of the Bloodline, except Roman, who wasn't there yet, were in the ring, and they were all arguing. And really, it was Jay Uso who was arguing with everybody. He was getting up in Sammy's face for losing. Solo Sikoa was getting between them, right? Come on, brother, back up. Jay was pushing his own brother. Then he got up in front of Jimmy, and he and Jimmy went nose to nose. So Jay was getting up in everybody's grill. Until we heard the music of the Tribal Chief, and out comes Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman. Roman arrives. You could see Sami Zayn. They showed him on camera. He mouthed the words, oh shit. And really, everybody in the ring, except Solo, who, again, he keeps a straight poker face. But everybody in the ring had the same reaction when they heard that Roman's music hit. Here he came. Oh, shit. And Roman took his time coming down to the ring. Michael Cole said he looked like he was pissed off. And they cut to a commercial break to milk things some more because they wanted you to stay tuned for what was going to be coming up after the commercial. And if you stayed tuned, if you did not tune away from this show, that you were treated to, again, a fantastic segment here. Back from the break, Roman is in the ring. And he tells St. Louis, great wrestling town, right? St. Louis. I was in St. Louis many years ago. There's the St. Louis Wrestling Hall of Fame, which I paid a visit to. A town with rich wrestling history. Now the Bloodline is part of that wrestling history. He wanted St. Louis to acknowledge him. Roman said that it was time to acknowledge the elephant in the room. And he said that you two want to act like children, that I'm going to treat you like children. Of course, he was referring to Jey Uso and Sami Zayn. Reigns said he wanted them to lay it all on the table because he wanted the problem taken care of immediately. He did not want this shit dragging on any longer. Let's get cards on the table here. Let's get this figured out. So Sami piped up first and he said, well, there's been a communication breakdown lately, and he felt that it was specifically with Jay. He put the blame on Jay. He said that he always liked Jay, and they always got along until he started hanging out with the Bloodline. And Sammy said, look, I don't know what I did to offend you. I really don't. But he apologized to Jay. He said, look, I don't want to keep this going on. And he asked Jay if they could bury the hatchet once and for all, and he put his hand out for a handshake. So Sami Zayn did everything that you could possibly do to try to bury the hatchet with somebody who doesn't like you. He took the high road. He said, look, I don't know what I ever did to offend you. I'm sorry. I want to put this in the past. Right? Imagine if CM Punk and Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks had come together like this backstage at Brawl Out. Maybe things would have turned out different. So Sammy is a true locker room leader. Sammy is leading by example. He puts his hand out. He's waiting for Jey Uso to... And Jey is taking his time. And Jey reaches into his back pocket. And he pulls out a microphone that just so happened to be there. And Jey told Sammy, "You got 2 seconds to get your hand out of my face." He was having none of this. He said, "I don't like you. I don't like your hair. I don't like your face. I don't like that t-shirt that you're wearing." I get the sense he doesn't like this man. Jey asked how Sammy could be in the bloodline when he is not blood. How can you be part of the bloodline? You're not even part of the actual bloodline. He said that Sammy doesn't belong. Nobody else in the group likes him either, but he's the only one who will actually pipe up publicly and say that. Jey called Sammy a fake-ass oos. And Sammy said that he was trying to make peace. Because I'm just trying to make peace here. That's what the tribal chief wanted. I am trying to make peace. And then came a true holy shit moment. Jey Uso, the hothead that he is, responds in the heat of the moment, and he tells Sami Zayn, "I don't give a damn what the tribal chief says." Oh, oh boy. You know, it's not very often when I'm sitting here watching a wrestling segment on TV that just clicks the way that this one did. And I react out loud. I mean, there'll be a botch every now and then or a close call. Looks like somebody gets dropped on their head and I'll go, "Oh shit," you know, or I'll react like that. But it's not often I sit here and I react to a story the way that I reacted to this segment. As soon as Jey Uso said what he said, and credit to the truck and Kevin Dunn, whoever was responsible for this shot, but they had a wide shot. And as he said it, Roman kind of had his head down. Roman snaps his head up and they zoom in on Roman's reaction. And it was fucking priceless. This was perfect. This was an oh shit moment. That was my reaction. Oh shit is what I said out loud as I watched this segment. And the people knew that Jey Uso had immediately fucked up. And they serenaded him in chants of "you fucked up." But yes, it's not very often that I sit here watching a television segment, I react that way. And again, kudos to the production and the way they shot this, the way they got Roman's reaction and zoomed in on his face. Like, did I really hear what I just think I heard? Like, it was perfect. It could not have been handled any better. So Roman slowly turns around to face Jey Uso. And he starts walking towards Jey. And Sammy, he could sense that things were going down a very bad path here. So he intervened and he told Roman, "Look, what Jey said just now was super messed up. Okay, not going to lie, it was super messed up, but he didn't mean it." So even now, Sami Zayn, trying to be the bigger man, still defending Jey Uso, who would just as soon not piss on the guy if he was on fire in the street. Sami Zayn still trying to be the bigger oos and stick up for this guy and try to save him from what's coming from Roman Reigns. So he says, "You know, look, Jey went through a lot and he hasn't been himself." And he said, "Frankly," he goes, "frankly, Jey just hasn't been very oosy." And that was it. That was it. That finally broke Roman and Jey. And they were up to this point, they were playing it very straight. And this was a serious infraction here, right, what Jey Uso said. So Roman at first had that really kind of incredulous sort of, "What did you just say?" pissed off look on his face. As soon as Sammy said the word, even before he said the word, but as he said the word "Uso," Roman, just he couldn't help himself. And he starts to crack. And Jey Uso begins to crack. And it's the worst possible thing because the whole thing they try to do in these segments is get that zoom-in shot, that close-up shot for the reaction, right? So when you have guys who can barely control their laughter, they're doing everything in their power not to crack on live television, and they have the camera as in fucking HD, as far up in their face as humanly possible, you can't miss it. There's no hiding from it. So Roman started to laugh. And I'll say Jey Uso usually does a pretty good job of holding things in. There have been a couple of times where he's had to turn away. Jey usually is pretty good with this, but Jey just, this was it. This was his limit. And Sammy in the background had this big smile on his face. He was so proud because he got exactly what he wanted. He got him, right? He got exactly what he wanted out of it. He was so proud of himself that he got these guys to crack. But Jey couldn't hold it in anymore. He was squirming. He turned his face in the other direction. Reminded me, there was a promo in the AWA many years ago with Gene Okerlund and Dr. D, David Schultz. And it might have been actually, you know what, I'm trying to think, it might have been the promo where, famous promo where Schultz was talking about Hulk Hogan. He was talking about how, or was he talking about Hogan? He was talking about himself. He was talking about being out in San Francisco looking for a woman, for a woman. And just some of the things he was saying, Gene, and Gene was the consummate professional, couldn't help himself. He had to turn his entire body and look the other way to kind of cover the fact that he was laughing. And Schultz was like, what's so funny? What are you laughing for? Jey was doing everything he possibly could. But, you know, he's rubbing his face. He's covering his mouth. He's looking behind him. I mean, he was struggling. He was struggling, this man. What? You know what he's going to have to start doing? He's going to have to start putting thumbtacks in his boot so that when he's in a situation like this, he just kind of presses down on it and feels that pain, and that might just be what he needs to do. He's going to have to start walking around with a fucking thumbtack in his boot. Otherwise, Sammy is just going to get him. He's going to get him every single week. Was he talking about Hogan? Okay. So Dr. D was talking about Hogan. But you got, if you've never seen that David Schultz promo, it's on YouTube. Do yourself a favor and find it. I mean, some people might be offended by it, but whatever. It's fucking hilarious. So anyway, that got an Usy chant from the crowd, which needs to be a t-shirt. I mean, they're leaving money on the table if they don't turn this into a t-shirt. Reigns tried to laugh it off, though. He did his best to try to play it off like this was intentional and like, what did you say to me? Like, he couldn't stop smiling, so he just sort of leaned into it. And he looked at Jey and he's going, is that true? He goes, is it really that you're not feeling very Usy? And he didn't just break him, by the way. He broke him three different times. Reigns put his arm around Jey. Again, Jey had to cover his mouth. Roman said that if Jey can't find his inner Usy again, then he would do something that Jey wouldn't like, and he threatened to take away the honorary part of Sammy's title. And he was going to make him a full-on Uso, and his name would be Sammy Uso. So he was going to make Sammy a full-blown Uso. And that's going to be his new name. It's going to be Sammy Uso. And there was a Sammy Uso chant from the crowd. And again, Sammy had a big smile on his face. So finally, Paul Heyman tries to save this thing here. Intentional or not, planned or not, I mean, that's how it came off. Like, all right, let's give it to the professional over here to wrap this shit up here. Heyman takes the mic. He goes, you know, the tribal chief has called an end to this segment. He encouraged fans to catch the Tribal Chief in action at Crown Jewel. He plugged his match against Logan Paul. And he goes, and now a kind word from our sponsors. And he counts down 3, 2, 1. And you see Roman start to leave the ring as they fade into the commercial break. Again, I don't know if that was the planned finish of the segment. Or if they were going to kind of go a slightly different way and then end with the plug for Crown Jewel. I tend to believe here that there's no way that they planned on the segment going the way it did with Roman and Jey laughing. I think it was meant to be played up seriously, I think, after what Jey said. But who knows? But they did the best they could. But what are you going to do? You're on live television. This fucker is trying to crack you up every single week. And he's succeeding, you know, 90% of the time. Heyman, I thought, wrapped it up well enough. So, look, even if the segment did not go exactly as planned, I don't give a shit. This was great. This was entertaining. It's all I ask when I tune into these shows is to be entertained. And Sami Zayn continues to entertain me more than anybody else in wrestling. And it's why this continues to be my favorite thing on any wrestling show in any promotion. I don't want it to end. I mean, we're heading into Survivor Series. You know, today is October 28th. Survivor Series is, I believe, November 26th. And we don't know for sure if the Bloodline will be in the men's War Games match. I think it would be ridiculous for them not to be. Could they have the Judgment Day? Could it be somebody else? It's possible, but I mean, there's just so many possibilities with the Bloodline on one side against the babyfaces that they've wronged, right? Including the Brawling Brutes. I think that's where we're going to end up. When Sheamus comes back, they'll begin to set things up for War Games. And, you know, one idea that I talked about before is how Sammy does something in that War Games match that either after the match is over or on television, you know, the following week, gets him kicked out of the Bloodline, and that's when they do the big beatdown. But that's only a month away. I don't want to see Sami Zayn kicked out of the Bloodline in 4 weeks. They could get a couple more months out of this. You know, you will reach a point where it gets a little long in the tooth and you gotta move on to whatever the next chapter is going to be. I'm not ready to get there just yet. So if they want to continue this even beyond War Games and go to the Rumble or whatever, I'm perfectly fine with that. But again, this was the best thing of the night, and I thought this entire segment was fantastic, and Sami Zayn is a true gem here on these shows. So then we had the New Day taking on the Maximum Male Mid-Carders. The male models got the better of Xavier Woods briefly until he leaped to make the tag to Kofi Kingston, who came in and ran roughshod. Kofi hit a boom drop on Mansoor. Kingston tagged in Woods. They hit the midnight hour on Mansoor, which led to Woods getting the pin. In the back, Kayla Braxton. And if you did not see Kayla Braxton dressed up as one of the Usos, then you need to go back and watch this week's episode of The Bump. Her and her co-host, Matt Camp, they dressed up as Jimmy and Jay. So if you ever wanted to know what Kayla Braxton would look like, with a beard, or maybe you don't, but you can go watch that. They also put a fun little video up on their YouTube channel. I guess it was Kayla, it was Baron Corbin, and Shotzi. I guess they were in Salem, so they went to whatever museum they have there, you know, the Salem Witch Trials and all that. It's like a 9-minute video. They did it for Halloween. Just if you're into that kind of stuff, that's up on the YouTube channel. So in the back, Kayla was with Sonya Deville. And Sonya said that Liv Morgan is now completely broken. And Morgan showed up. There she was. She happened to be right there ready to pounce. And she attacked Sonya. Adam Pearce and some referees struggled to pull the two of them apart. And that was the end of this segment. Liv Morgan, you talk about Halloween. You talk about horror. You talk about Liv Morgan is a huge fan of Chucky. She has talked about how Chucky is like her favorite horror villain. Or horror character. And she got to live, no pun intended, her dream by being on an episode of the TV show Chucky, and she got murdered by Chucky. She once said that her dream was to be murdered by Chucky, and she got her wish. She got stabbed in the torso a whole bunch of times, and she keeled over and died. And so Liv Morgan is a very happy woman right now because she can say that she got killed by Chucky. See, I also feel like it would be very cool to be in a horror movie and be killed by one of the famous slashers, whether it was Jason, whether it was Michael, whether it was Chucky, who always freaked me out when I was a kid. I think that would be cool. So if there's any horror directors who are going to watch this at some point, my services are available. If you need a victim to be killed in one of your films, I'm available. Braun Strowman was in the back for a promo. He said, you know, there's a saying. Because there's always someone bigger and stronger than you are. And he admitted that Omos is bigger than him, but stronger. And they replayed some of his feats of strength from over the years, flipping over, you know, trucks and buses and stuff, and pushing over lighting trusses. He says, come crown jewel, Omos. You're going to find out real quick that there is no giant too big for the monster of all monsters. We had Ronda Rousey out for the first time in a match since the Extreme Rules pay-per-view, to defend her SmackDown Women's Championship in an open challenge. Ronda, who is now a heel, came out. She was all smiles, but she got on the mic and said that finally the belt is back where it belongs. She said that she was in the mood for an open challenge. She didn't expect the fans to recognize how special it was to have a champion defend the belt like this. She said it's because only the greats recognize greatness. And she asked, who is feeling lucky? And the open challenge tonight was accepted by Emma Tennille Dashwood. Back in WWE, wearing her shades, wearing her the gloves, the half gloves, like she used to wear them, exactly the way that she was on the main roster the last time we saw her. This was not NXT Emma coming out doing the Emma dance that she used to do. Remember the Emma theme music? This was the Emma dance, right? I still have that right. This was main roster Emma, the first Australian woman ever signed to a WWE contract. It was 5 years ago tomorrow to the day that she was released by WWE. And in the years since, she spent time in Ring of Honor. She spent a few years in Impact Wrestling, which, I mean, basically is like going into the witness protection program. So now she is back on Fox. Well, it's FS1 tonight. She was back on WWE television, and she got a lukewarm reaction. Now, to be fair, it's not as if the people would really have any reason to remember who she was, because she didn't do anything on the main roster. She was barely used. She was barely even pushed on the main roster. So I would not have expected these people to go crazy for Emma coming back, because I guarantee you more than half these people don't even know who this woman is. So she got a very lukewarm reaction, a respectful but lukewarm reaction from the crowd. Crowd didn't care about any of this, though. Rousey dominated Emma, kicked her to the floor. Emma briefly fought back. Rousey regained control. Emma was sitting up against the ring steps outside. Ronda came in. Emma moved out of the way, and Ronda went hip first into the ring steps. Oh, God, Emelina. Yeah, I forgot about that. Well, Emelina never got off the ground, which I think is one of the reasons, probably the main reason why Vince McMahon never pushed her. They had this Emelina idea. I don't think she was into it. And when you kind of say to them, look, I don't like this idea that you came up with for me, that's, you may as well just, you know, in a matter of speaking, you may as well just slit your own wrists when it comes to your career, because that's going to be the end. And that pretty much was the end for her. So, yeah, I forgot about the Emelina stuff. My God. So in the ring, Emma caught Rousey in the tarantula and followed that with a flying crossbody for a near fall. Rousey regained control. She was mocking Emma. Emma fired back. Rousey came back with an ankle lock. Emma broke free, hit a German suplex. The referee was momentarily distracted, and Ronda used that as an opportunity to poke Emma in the eye. And then she hit Piper's Pit. She locked on the armbar and got the submission win. So a very lackluster return for Emma, even though she was challenging Ronda Rousey for the championship, a very uneventful return. These two just didn't click together. It was their first time working together. You know, Madcap Moss did an interview not too long ago, a matter of weeks ago, and it might have been with Sports Kita. I don't remember, but Moss did the interview and mentioned the possibility of Emma coming back. He said, selfishly, he wanted her to come back to the company because the two of them are dating. And so Madcap got his wish. Emma is back in WWE. And Emma is not the only woman. She is not the only former NXT female that Triple H is supposedly looking to bring back. There have been rumors about Mia Yim, who I believe finished up with Impact. And there have been rumors about Chelsea Green, who also finished up with her commitment. So we'll see if those come to fruition or not. The one thing about that I like, and I don't know how much more success they'll have this time relative to last time, but I like that they're at least, it looks like they're making an attempt to start padding the division. They need some more faces in the women's division. If they have Emma back now, they're going to have possibly Chelsea Green and or Mia Yim. You know, it just gives them some more experienced faces to add to the division that I think needs a facelift. They need some new blood in there for not just Ronda, but just, you know, for everybody on the roster. So that's the one good thing about them bringing back some of these women. If they go directly to the main roster, they may not all be on SmackDown. I would suspect that, you know, one of them would have to end up on Monday Night Raw. But it's good that they're looking to add some new faces. We got breaking news from Michael Cole on commentary after the match was over, that Bianca Belair and Bayley will have a rematch at Crown Jewel for the Raw Women's Championship, and it is going to be a last woman standing match. And we also were told that by virtue of their win earlier tonight, Ridge Holland and Butch were done, as Michael Cole called him. We'll be challenging the Usos for the tag team titles in Saudi Arabia at Crown Jewel. Now, that's interesting to me because if you remember, and they didn't really mention it much or at all tonight, but the Usos are about to break the record in the next couple of weeks as the longest reigning tag team champions of all time. So, passing Demolition, passing The New Day, who were in the top spot. I want to say it's November 12 or the weekend of November 12th. So, Crown Jewel is November 5th. What I would expect, and New Day got a win on this show over the Maximum Male Mid-Carders, but I believe they also pinned Jimmy Uso in a tag match, a non-title match or a six-man tag, whatever it was, a few weeks ago. And there has been no mention really since of them challenging for the tag team titles. So my guess is we're going to get the Usos retaining it. Of course, they're going to retain a Crown Jewel. But we might then get the announcement on TV next week that the winner of that match, whoever the champions are, will defend the titles on SmackDown the following Friday against The New Day. Because if they're going to build any drama around this story, trying to stop the Usos from breaking the record, it has to be that November 11th episode of SmackDown. They either do it then or they just let them break the record and there's no attempt to stop them. So my guess is The New Day will challenge the Usos on that episode of SmackDown for the tag team titles. That's just my thought. There was no mention of it tonight, but that's where I think they're going to go with that. Speaking of the Usos, Jey Uso was in the back, and he was right outside of Roman Reigns' locker room with Paul Heyman. And he wanted to go explain himself to Roman. Heyman told him, look, this is something that the wise man should do. And he called himself the warden of the Uso Penitentiary. Jey thanked him for talking to Roman for him and walked off. And then the camera lingered on Heyman, who had a look on his face like he was not looking forward to having this conversation with his tribal chief. Elsewhere in the locker room, and this I liked, Ronda Rousey is walking through the hallway. She's encountered by Shayna Baszler. And Shayna Baszler congratulates her on taking out what's-her-name, and they hugged. And now here comes Natalya. And Natty gets up in Ronda's face and says, you know, if I had answered the open challenge, I would be the new SmackDown Women's Champion right now. Which begs the question, why didn't she answer the open challenge? Whenever a wrestler announces an open challenge, I don't know why they don't have a camera focused on that, you know, right behind the curtain. It could be like that movie Rat Race, where everybody is going to attempt to be the first person out the curtain, but just a big brawl breaks out. They're all climbing over each other. And the first person through the curtain gets to get the title match. I'd be waiting right there, man. I'd be spitting in my hands. I'd be waiting for the open challenge to be, you know, laid out, and I'd be the first person out that curtain. So how come Natty didn't accept the challenge? She didn't tell us why. Maybe she was in the bathroom, maybe she was doing her makeup. Maybe she was having a banana and catering. I don't know. Whatever she may have been doing, she didn't accept the open challenge. Shayna Baszler sneaks up behind her and puts her in a choke and takes Natty down to the ground until she almost passes out. And then Ronda and Shayna left together. I love it. I love it. How many times have I pitched this? Putting them together, doing something with Ronda and Shayna on TV, making them a combo or a team. Not necessarily a literal tag team, but just having them together on screen. We already know they're friends. So now they're doing everything right. Ronda needed to be a heel. Now she's a heel. Ronda and Shayna should be together on TV. Ronda and Shayna, now they're together on TV. Triple H knows what he's doing here. Triple H felt the same way. Triple H pushed Shayna Baszler in NXT. What do you think? He was going to take over creative on the main roster and you know, kind of shuffle her off to the side? He sees that there's value in using her. The two of them have never been together on camera, you know, as far as like a storyline or a program on WWE television. So I like this little on-screen alliance now that they're pushing with Ronda and Shayna. Like a two-woman power trip. I like that. We had Legado del Fantasma taking on Hit Row and their mystery partner. Now, I was very worried that the mystery partner would turn out to be Carmelo Hayes, who would be called up and be paired off with a dead act, which is what Hit Row has been so far since they got back to the main roster. There's no swerve. They're missing that extra spark. The fans just don't care about Hit Row. So I was worried that Carmelo Hayes debuts, they attach him to them in some way, and then it rubs off on him. Thankfully, they did not do that. They did not call up Carmelo Hayes, but they did call up another star from NXT to be partners with Hit Row on this show. They said that B-Fab had somebody in mind for this spot, and they called up NXT star Shinsuke Nakamura, who has spent more time on NXT, the one episode that he did, than he has on SmackDown in at least 2 months. That's why I called him an NXT star. So they called up Shinsuke from Developmental to come on back to the main roster. And he was the only person who was even really over in this match. It didn't help pairing him off with Hit Row. It didn't rub off on them. The fans still didn't care much about Hit Row. Nakamura and Hit Row charged the ring. They were brawling with Legato before the bell even rang. Nakamura and Hit Row, they got the better of them. Escobar was the only one left in the ring. Zelina Vega ran in to check on him, and that's when B-Fab took out Zelina with a pump kick. Come back from break. The match is joined in progress. It's finally underway. Top Dollar did his spot where he hoists up one opponent on his shoulders and catches the other one and slams them both down to the mat. Escobar ran in. He took a shot at Top Dollar. Top Dollar. Not nada, right? Is that his phrase? Top Dollar, not nada. I'm not sure what that means. I think it sounds very goofy. But I guess, hey, everybody's got to have a catchphrase. So he no-sold a shot from Escobar. Then he held Escobar's arm, and he ran the ropes like he was a luchador. He came out with a mask on. Michael Cole said he looked like Mr. Wrestling. He should have kept it on. He looked like he was about to rob a bank. So he's out there like a fucking luchador. He's running the ropes, right? I would go, that's pretty cool. And then he stood on the top rope for what felt like far too long to do his hand gesture, which I think is this. Is this it? Is this his hand gesture? He goes like, or maybe it's three. Maybe it's this. I thought that was the Matt Hardy hand gesture. Isn't this the Matt Hardy hand gesture, the V1? I don't know. He did the stupid hand gesture that he does. Meanwhile, Santos Escobar has to stand there like a fucking idiot forever and stand there and just look at him instead of yanking him off the top rope and crotching this fucking guy on the top rope. So he made Escobar look like a complete idiot. And then he came off the top rope with a double sledge. Or a chop. Maybe it was a chop to Escobar's head. But he made him look like such a fucking moron by standing there as long as he did. Escobar tagged in Cruz del Toro. Nakamura tagged in. He took out del Toro with the Kinshasa. And he pinned him. I would not have beaten Legato this soon. They're doing the whole Even Steven stuff with them in Hit Row. You know, probably because Nakamura was in the match. They didn't want him to lose. But I don't like the fact that Legato lost here. The crowd loved Nakamura, but they could not give two shits about Hit Row. In the back, Roman Reigns was in his locker room with Paul Heyman. Roman was sitting down. Paul Heyman was standing behind him. Roman had his back turned. He was on his phone. And he wanted Roman to watch a piece of footage on the screen next to him. And he queued it up. And it was video of Logan Paul sparring. He was sparring. Roman wants to know, why am I watching this? It's my favorite phrase for the last 5 years of watching Monday Night Raw. Would say that every week. I should have put that on a fucking t-shirt. I would have made a fortune. Heyman says, it just takes one lucky punch. So Roman, he's trying to pretend like he doesn't care about the video, but then he kind of turns and he watches it. He's watching Logan Paul throwing right hands. And Heyman said he was sitting in synagogue. Don't let Kanye West hear you say that. He was sitting in synagogue, and there was some gossip going around, and he knows a doctor who knows a doctor who knows Logan Paul's doctor. And he was told that Logan once broke his hand and now has steel pins inserted in his fist. So apparently this patient-doctor confidentiality does not extend to synagogue. Apparently they're very chatty in synagogue. I've been to synagogue myself in many years, so I cannot vouch for the types of discussions that go on there, but evidently the patient-doctor confidentiality does not extend to places of worship. So, and apparently Logan Paul is also Lex Luger. So Roman said that the guys had two matches, and Paul Heyman said yes, and this is going to be his third. And in his third fight in the UFC, Brock Lesnar became the UFC heavyweight champion. And then he realized that he greatly offended Roman with what he just said. And Heyman, you know, he looked like he just was about to shit himself. And he was trying to backtrack. And he said, like, you know, look, I didn't mean to imply that Logan Paul is Brock Lesnar, nor did I mean to imply that, you know, Brock Lesnar is you, or he's better than you. You beat him at WrestleMania, and you beat him at SummerSlam. And then he realized he needs to just shut his mouth. And he said, you know, I think I'm going to, it would be a good time for me to take my exit, and I'll go get the jet started for you. And Heyman left the room. After a break, Kayla Braxton was back. She was in the back with LA Knight. And he was interrupted by Rick O'Shea, who told him that he might get a warmer reception around here if he didn't act like he was God's gift to SmackDown. Because around here, when someone's head grows as big as yours, someone else is likely to knock it around. And LA Knight said, you know what? I am God's gift to SmackDown. And he walked off. And Ricochet told him to keep running his mouth because someone is going to shut it. The difference in charisma between these two. When you see them on camera together like that, I mean, you talk about night and day. Holy shit. Holy shit. I mean, Ricochet is a revelation in the ring. He can do things most people just shouldn't be able to do. But when you see them just character and personality-wise and promo-wise like this in this segment, I mean, it's just not even comparable between these two. But Ricochet will be a great guy for LA Knight to work with. That's why I like the idea of him being a heel right now. He can work with people like Ricochet. He can go out there and have good, fun matches, and, you know, he beats Ricochet. I mean, of course, you know, there's no reason for him not to beat Ricochet. So it's someone he can beat as they start to really build him up as a contender on the SmackDown brand. Karrion Kross was back from his fender bender a few weeks ago with Scarlett taking on Madcap Moss. Moss had a little bit of a burst late in the match with a fallaway slam, followed that up with a couple of running shoulder blocks. Scarlett climbed onto the apron and distracted Moss, who got booted by Kross, who was unable to win a single match without the distraction from his wife. Moments later, Kross blasted Moss with a... Are they married, actually, now that I think about it? Are they married? I don't remember now if they're married or not. In any event, Kross blasted Moss with a shot to the back of the head, and he pinned him. This went 10 minutes, and it felt every bit of it. It was very slow. You know, look, for Kross, it was fine as a showcase. There was nothing overly impressive about anything that we saw here from Karrion Kross, but it was a way to give him a win ahead of his cage match with Drew McIntyre at Crown Jewel. After the match, Kross put Moss in the cross jacket submission. And as he held this man in the cross jacket, he had a microphone in his hand. They are married. Okay. That's right. They got married on an iceberg. I forgot. That's right. I just couldn't remember if they were engaged and had not yet been married or if they already got married. They did get married. Yes, Kross is a very lucky man. So he had a microphone in his hand as he was choking this man unconscious. And he said that Moss put up a better fight than McIntyre did. Kross said that Moss is not a coward or a hypocrite like Drew is. And he said McIntyre stands for nothing but his own ambition. He said history would repeat itself during their cage match. And the referees couldn't pry this guy off of him until Scarlett finally leaned in and he released the hold. Back to Kayla. Kayla was like Renee was on Dynamite on Wednesday. Renee had like five different appearances on the show. I think Kayla had three or four. Kayla was with Rey Mysterio, who is going to be challenging Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship on SmackDown next Friday, which is being taped tonight as we speak. The match is probably already done because they're going to be traveling to Saudi Arabia. They will not be able to do SmackDown Live, so it's being taped tonight. But they're going to do the title match next week. And Ray talked about being thankful to be back on SmackDown. All of a sudden, he gets hit by a chair. And it's Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci, and they pick him up. And here comes Gunther, and he tears off Ray's shirt, and he caves his chest in with a chop. Good luck, Ray. I was going to say good luck next week. Good luck tonight. I'm sure Ray Mysterio will not be coming out of that match in one piece. It's Gunther. I'm sorry, Tomas, you're right. It's not the Gunther. If I'm going to say his new name, I got to say it the way Samantha Irvin does. Samantha Irvin does a tremendous job when she introduces Imperium. She doesn't say Gunther. She says Gunther, which is still not as good as Walter or Valta, but Gunther. I like the way that she says it. So Gunther is going to fuck up Rey Mysterio on next week's show. The closing segment was Bray Wyatt coming to the ring for a promo. Bray Wyatt now slotted internally as the number one babyface on SmackDown. You know who's number two? Drew McIntyre. He's been demoted. Of course he's been demoted. He lost at Clash at the Castle in Cardiff. He got lugered. So, of course, now begins the demotion. Bray Wyatt is the number one babyface. Bray Wyatt has unseated the Bloodline as the number one merch seller in WWE. He's only been back on TV for a few weeks. He's already the number one merch mover. Now you know why Triple H brought him back. So he got the same entrance as last week with the door that swings open, the cool new music from Code Orange, which I've become a big fan of the more I listen to it. He says, I could really get used to that. Again, he's soaking up the cheers from all the people in the crowd. He says, I could really get used to that. Can you feel that? Said, it's like an adrenaline rush. Then he started laughing. He got chance of welcome back. Says, I'm not going to lie. When you all start doing stuff like that, it makes me feel invulnerable. Like I have to start doing something wild. Maybe next week on SmackDown, he'll go streaking across the arena. But I want you to notice that right now, it's just me and you. He goes, there's no mask. There's no smoke and mirrors. It's just me and you. That's what I want all of you to get used to. This is Bray Wyatt, the real man. This is the best version of me that will ever be. I am proud to be here today, and I'm going to do some spectacular things while I'm here. The truth is that for the majority of my life, I've been completely out of control. He says, I can't help that. My emotions don't work like most other people's, and sometimes they can send me to a very dark place. And other times, no matter how hard I try, I just don't feel anything at all. That happens to me when I fall asleep on my arm at night. I will wake up in the middle of the night in a panic, thinking that I have no arm. I can't feel anything. I don't know how many hours I've been laying on it. I'm looking down, expecting to see fucking gangrene. They're going to have to amputate. And then I have to shake the arm. Like, I know that feeling. It's a terrible feeling. So he says, I think that's part of what makes me, you know, makes me me. He says, I've had to do some really horrible things, and there's a part of me that likes that I'm not afraid to do those horrible things. He goes, and I know that's not the end of it. There will come another time when I'm faced with some adversity, and I will be asked to do something completely horrible. Then he was interrupted by Uncle Howdy, who we were introduced to last week for the first time. But this time we got a clearer view of Uncle Howdy's face, or I should say his mask. There he is again. There's Uncle Howdy. And we hear Uncle Howdy say, who am I? You killed the world. You sent him away. They're the reason why you're just a shell of what you once were. I assume that's a reference to the fans. I assume that's a reference to you and me. It says, I say to you, to revel in what you are. You're a liar. You claim you don't wear a mask, and we both know that's not true, don't we? It says, you'll never be able to hide from me. You're Uncle Howdy. Not that he was calling him. He was calling himself. He goes, it's like he's signing a letter as Uncle Howdy. And they zoomed in on the mask, as you can see here, to show a single tear streaming out of one of his eyes. So Uncle Howdy, what I get out of this, and just based on the sound of the voice, it sounds so much like Bray. Either it's Bray Wyatt in a mask, and this is in fact going to be a battle of Bray's different personalities. It's a battle of good versus evil. Bray is trying to be the real him. He's trying to be a good person, a good, decent person. He's done some terrible things in his life. He wants to put that behind him. He doesn't want to be that person anymore. And here's his other personality. Here's the dark side of Bray Wyatt coming out and saying, "You're a liar." It's the angel and the devil on each shoulder. Either that's what's going on here, or the voice that we heard in the man under that mask is Bo Dallas. Because Bo Dallas, if you've never heard Bo Dallas just talk, like as a normal human being, he sounds very much like his brother. So it could very easily have been his voice that we heard, but it was definitely somebody from that family. And no, I don't think it was Barry Windham, even though I do think that the mask was made up to look a little bit like Bray's actual real-life uncle, Barry Windham. So that's how they went off the air with Uncle. That's creeping me out. Get Uncle Howdy off the screen. Now remember, they didn't just trademark Uncle Howdy. We also have Uncle Harper. When is Uncle Harper going to come into play? Because that was the other name they trademarked back on October 8th. They trademarked two names, the day of Extreme Rules when Bray came back. Uncle Howdy was one, Uncle Harper was the other. And I think my theory that I talked about last week is that Uncle Howdy sort of, you know, represents the evil side of Bray. When and if the time comes that we see Uncle Harper, maybe Uncle Harper represents the positive side of Bray. And it's this internal struggle that he's going to have, you know, amongst himself. I think that that may be what we're looking at here. It may not be, you know, people taking it very literally, the Wyatt Six, and thinking there's going to be a faction, there's going to be six different people. Becoming increasingly clear to me that that's not the case, and people are reading a little too much into things. People, a week ago, people thought the Wyatt Six is going to face the Bloodline at War Games. I mean, it's ridiculous. Bray hasn't even had a single match yet, and they already have him in the War Games match. There are people who have Bray Wyatt in the main event of WrestleMania against Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship, as if they didn't learn their lesson with The Fiend the first time. Rushing into a championship match with Bray Wyatt. The man hasn't wrestled a fucking match yet. They have him headlining WrestleMania. Not that it couldn't happen. He keeps selling merch. And they have him as the number one babyface on SmackDown. By no means am I saying that it's impossible to think that it could be Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt. I would like to think, though, that they would take their time with this. I know it's probably very tempting. Right, I know BlissFan is in the chat. Probably he's very tempting to think that Bray Wyatt, who lost his championship to Roman Reigns, and Roman has been the champion ever since. Now Bray is back, and wouldn't it be something if Bray came back to challenge and take the title away from Roman when he was the one who lost it to him in the first place? But I just think that that would be putting the cart way before the horse, and I just don't know that that would be a very good idea. It's like the dog chasing the car. Once you do, then what? Bray doesn't strike me as the kind of person who needs to be going after the championship anytime soon. Next Friday, they may be back on FS1 again, depending on, I guess, what happens with the World Series. When I tuned in right before I went live tonight, I saw the game was tied at 5. It was 5-5 in the fifth. I don't know what the status of the game is now. But anyway, they may or may not be back on FS1 next week. But it is a tape show. We have Liv Morgan against Sonya Deville, no disqualification. And Rey Mysterio will challenge Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. About 65% of you have given this show a thumbs up. We have 22% thumbs in the middle and 13% thumbs down for SmackDown so far. At Solomonster is the place to go. Please do so. And before I get to your super chats, I want to give a quick plug here because we are less than 24 hours away from House of Glory Exodus live on Fight. Go to fight.tv. It's already up on the schedule. You can order it. That's the ordering page. 6 p.m. Eastern start time tomorrow. Myself and JD from New York on the call. We got some cool fucking matches that we're going to be calling tomorrow night, including Low-Ki against Shingo Takagi from New Japan Pro Wrestling. The Briscoes against Aussie Open. Charles Mason steps into the ring. That's our crown jewel champion, taking on El Fantasmo from New Japan. And Jacob Fatu is back. We don't know who he's going to be challenging, but it will be Jacob Fatu against a mystery man to crown a new House of Glory world champion. We were supposed to crown a new House of Glory world champion in August at Terminal 5 with Jacob Fatu and Brody King. That did not happen. Both men were disqualified. But we are going to crown a new world champion, and we'll see who will be getting into the ring with Jacob Fatu. So that's where I'll be. I'll be at La Boom in Queens. So if you're going to be coming to the show, say hello. It's different from our usual venue, although not too far from the NYC arena. And then live here again on Monday night after the Halloween episode of Monday Night Raw. Of course, the podcast episode 780 on Sunday. I'll have a lot to say about all of the AEW developments this week and all the CM Punk stuff and the Elite. So we'll get into that on Sunday. So a lot to look forward to. The work never ends. What's going on back? Have you looked at the Rampage card? Yikes. I actually have not looked at the Rampage card. I will watch Rampage. Well, I'll try to watch it tomorrow. I have to go to the Hog Show. I don't know when I'm going to watch Rampage. Let me know if I should watch Rampage. Maybe I'll skip it this week. Metal Rules 5 with a $20 super chat. Hey, Metal Rules coming in hot. Thank you, Metal Rules. Bring back Shane O'Mac to run Raw on the network around the big four pay-per-views. Let it be a mature rating and let the violence flow. WWE first ever deathmatch would be sick. He also says, what I meant was a two-hour special right before each of the big four pay-per-views on the network, and Shane O'Mac would run it and be called Raw Underground. They're not taking it TV-14, so you can kiss your deathmatch hopes goodbye. Extreme Rules is about as extreme as it's going to get. Is that the consensus for Rampage tonight, to skip it? It's so sad what's become of that show. Sirloin 7, Sammy Uso, they really missed out on Usi Zayn. Nah, Sammy Uso is good. You need a separate Usi shirt. You don't need Usi Zayn. You need a separate shirt that says, you're not very Usi or I'm very Usi. That's a separate shirt altogether. Kevin Dunn's Beaver, thank you for the dollar. Google Chrome user under suspicion for tax fraud with a $5 super chat. I was wondering why my window is over so much, and then I realized why. It's his name. Roman versus Sammy at Elimination Chamber. It is in Montreal. Book it. Oh, can you imagine the crowd reaction? They think Sami Zayn might actually walk out of there with that championship. And you know what? It worked perfectly. Think about this, okay? Think about this. If you believe that Sami Zayn will no longer be part of the bloodline heading into WrestleMania, which he shouldn't be, and again, I am still very much in favor of him and KO taking the belts off the Usos. So let's say the split has already happened, right? They've already kicked Sami out of the bloodline. Sami challenges Roman for the championship at Elimination Chamber. Jay... it cost him the title, and it leads perfectly into Sammy and KO challenging Jimmy and Jay for the tag belts at WrestleMania. And just imagine the crowd reaction to that entire match if they think Sammy might walk away with the top championship. It would be a fucking thing of beauty. Just think of the reaction he got in Montreal on SmackDown a few weeks ago and magnify that by 10. That would be incredible. Dick the Cock Johnson with the $9.99. Swerve has kidnapped Billy Gunn. I can see why people are telling me to skip the show. Thomas Rondon, who came up with that intro animation? I love it. I got a guy. Actually, if you're talking specifically about the Halloween stuff, I created that. I took all that stuff and laid it over the existing intro. But if you're talking about the intro itself, I got a guy. And I saw it and I said, I love it. I'm going to use it. Rodimus Prime with the $10 super chat. All this stuff about CM Punk is exhausting. One of the biggest comebacks of all time, squandered by one rant. He is the Kanye West of pro wrestling. He's not the Kanye West of pro wrestling. I would not insult CM Punk by calling him the Kanye West of pro wrestling. I don't hate CM Punk that much. Wink the Cosmic Grandma with a $9.99 super chat. I have not died laughing from a one-liner since Booker T said, Thomas Jefferson sucka. That Oos joke will go down in history as one of the best one-liners ever. Thanks for all that you do, Solomonster. It's not even the first time we've heard him say it. It's just his delivery of it. Again, that's why it cracked up everybody in the ring. Shinakuma, did you ever watch the 1980s version of Prom Night with Jamie Lee Curtis? I may have many years ago. If I did, it was a very long time ago. Sean O'Hare in the chat, channel member for 13 months. Hey, Sean, thank you. Says 1 hour left of my stinking 12-hour shift. 4:30 a.m. Literally falling asleep at work, but Solomonster getting me through as he always does. Thank you, good sir. Was the show any good tonight? SmackDown was not a bad show, but you just need to see the Bloodline stuff. And if you're into the Bray Wyatt stuff, you can watch the end. Watch the beginning and the end of the show, and that's really all you need. Rizzo with the five. Almost went CM Punk on my dumb childish coworkers today, but I realized that I don't have FU money like Punk does, so I counted to 10 and I left angry. Always good to take a deep breath and just step away. Don't say something that you're going to regret that's going to cost you money out of your pocket. James Gruesome, you are the Brett of solo podcasting. Well, that is just the ultimate compliment that I could be paid. Are you saying that I am the excellence of execution in podcasting? I appreciate that. EJ Slemp, $4.99, just got home from a high school football game and the power went out in the middle of the game, just like Beware of Dog in 96. Yes, but did they keep playing the game? Because if Beware of Dog, they kept the show going in the dark. I'll bet you those pansy-ass football players, they probably stopped the game. Dick the Cock Johnson, Adam Cole's going to be allied with the Kingdom. Taven's Rampage entrance spoiled it. Griga with the $5 super chat. I remember when Sammy said he wanted to get inside Drew's head, make himself comfortable, foreshadowing for what's to come for the Bloodline. I think you may be reading a little too much into that. Aussie of Steel, Karrion Kross, to me, is in a weird spot. Yes, he has the entrance and promos, but he needs to be booked more dominantly instead of having interference spots and constantly being beaten down by Drew. Yeah, and he's probably going to lose the cage match at Crown Jewel. So his run so far, he has $1 million entrance. And having Scarlett has made all the difference in the world, but we just haven't seen anything impressive from him. You know, maybe, you know, he had the one pay-per-view match, the biggest match of his career with Drew, and yeah, the match was okay. I didn't think it was any great shakes. I say the same thing about Crown Jewel. You know, they need to go out there and have a really good match, I think, in Saudi Arabia, especially if he's not going to come out of it on the winning end of it. And I'm thinking he probably won't. But just so far, it's just kind of ho-hum to me. Queen Fire Panda. So the fact that Bray's logo seems to always show up in segments with Liv kind of gives me the feeling that Liv is involved in some way. I don't think so, but we'll see. Rizzo, hope you enjoy the relatively quiet month of wrestling in October because November is going to be packed and we are getting a lot of Solomonster. Yes, you are. We have 3 pay-per-views, including one next Saturday. Crown Jewel is at noon, by the way. For those who don't know, it is a noon Eastern start, which means It'll be one of those 4 o'clock live streams, which I'm actually okay with that. That means I'll have a little bit of time to myself. Probably not, because I'll be preparing for the podcast the next day. So, on second thought, so much for that. But yeah, we have Crown Jewel, we have Full Gear, and I can't wait for that media scrum, and Survivor Series, and then we have the 15-year anniversary of the Sound Off, which we are celebrating in the month of November. We have two watch-alongs coming up next month. We're going to do one for the Montreal Screwjob, 25-year anniversary of the Screwjob, if you can believe it. That'll be on November 9th, and then on November 16th or 17th, whatever that Thursday is, we'll be doing a live stream for, or a live watch-along for the very first Elimination Chamber, which will be the 20-year anniversary next month of that first Chamber match at MSG. And then all your weekly Raw, Dynamite, SmackDown streams. It's going to be a packed month. Boys better get ready. ADTR. Hey, what's going on, ADTR? Thank you for the $20 super chat. Says, sup, Solomonster. I know Survivor Series is a month away, but what is your favorite Survivor Series pay-per-view ever? Says, mine is from 2003. Team Austin against Team Bischoff. Taker against Vince. Buried Alive. What are your thoughts? Yeah, I didn't care for the Buried Alive stuff. That was the one where Vince bled. He hit like a fucking artery, I think, in the first 90 seconds of the match. Team Austin and Team Bischoff, though, is one of the all-time great Survivor Series matches. Pay-per-view, overall, I probably would go with either 90 or 91, I think, is my personal favorite. Key Fresh with the $4.99. Hey, Key, what's going on? People forget that it takes time to get over New Day, Crime Time, Uso, Street Profits, etc. Did not get big reactions their first few entrances. We'll see. You know, Hit Row has been very cold so far. Maybe in a few months that will change. But again, I just think something is missing. And if this is all we have, I don't have a very good feeling about things changing too much for them. Ethan, we appreciate all the content you pump out weekly. You are the GOAT. Thank you, Ethan. I like that, Ethan. King Bling Blah, $4.99. Do you have the feel-good moment of Jay accepting Sammy and them hugging before the split? If Rock is in for Mania, I would love to see Rock and Sammy Uso promo. That would be fun. That's the thing. I mean, there's so many different ways you could go with this. You could build up to Jay eventually accepting Sammy. You could build to Solo, who seems to like Sammy, turning against his brothers and actually going with Sammy. You could do Sammy and Solo against the Usos. I still prefer Sammy and KO. Or you can do one of the more obvious outcomes, which is the Bloodline unite to attack Sammy. He fucks up, maybe in War Games or something. He just commits the cardinal sin, and we just get that dagger to the heart. And they turn on him, and there's a vicious beatdown, and he disappears for a while, and KO kind of makes the Bloodline his target for what they did to his friend, and eventually Sammy has the triumphant return, and as somebody suggested before, maybe gets a title match with Roman at Elimination Chamber in Montreal, and build to the big tag team title change at WrestleMania. But I mean, as far as Jay accepting Sammy, I just don't think it works, just because where do you go from there? It's not like Sammy is going to be tag team partners with Jay Uso all of a sudden, and you're going to split the Usos up. Why would you split the Usos up? That's like when WWE split the Dudleys and split the Hardys and then feuded them. How'd that work out? I mean, Jeff went on to have a successful singles run, but nobody wanted to see Jeff against Matt. Nobody wanted to see Bubba against Diva. Nobody wants to see Jimmy against Jay. Paul Heyman, the mensch himself, straight from synagogue, has dropped a super chat. Should the doofus son-in-law bring back America's Most Wanted, Johnny Drip Drip? Right now, I don't think he needs him. I'll say about Triple H what I said about Tony Khan after a while. I think he needs to start to pump the brakes a little bit and just start, you know, and he already is, you know, taking the pieces that he has, seeing where they fit, and just focus on that. Thomas says, the Rube overlooking the city as it rains. Nice. You gotta have the rain, man. Nothing more peaceful than some rain in the background. The city lights. Very calming. Draven Lord. Been watching some World Class and wanted your thoughts on these matches. Gunther against Fritz Von Erich and MJF against Gino Hernandez. Gunther and Fritz would have been a hard-hitting one, but MJF and Gino, probably just on promos alone, I think, would have been fantastic. You know, Gino is one of the what-if stories in wrestling. Hyru says, Nakamura needs to be featured more. There's no reason he should not be featured as a top babyface alongside Bray, Drew, and Braun on SmackDown. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's lost a lot of luster over time. He's still well-liked, but I don't see him at that level anymore. Fire Panda, in your opinion, what is the best Bray Wyatt promo? Mine is the Miss Teacher Lady promo. I don't know. They all kind of blend together for me. I don't think I have any single favorite Bray Wyatt promo. Some of them bored me to tears during his run, and then he's had some really good ones too, but there isn't any one single one that really stands out to me. Anti-M Bishop, Evening Solomonster, New Japan killed it in New York tonight, and Hog is going to be epic tomorrow. I cannot effing wait. All the best. And I saw Jon Moxley showed up at the New Japan show as a surprise. I saw the picture of Moxley out on the apron in the tag match with Eddie Kingston, Okada, and I saw Amazing Red, House of Glory's own Amazing Red, sharing the ring with Okada and Moxley and the rest of them. So that was very cool. And Rizzo, we give Vince a lot of crap about his poor creative, but maybe he was right on Hit Row and Bayley's heel faction. Both have been bad. Yes, both have been not good. And the Bayley one is weird because, I mean, Bayley just, frankly, has not felt like herself, although she and Bianca had a pretty good match on TV the other night. But I almost wonder if it would be better for, you know, there to be a damage control split sooner than later, have Io break out as a babyface. You know, Dakota can be a heel, but have, you know, Io go off and do her own thing as a babyface. All right, guys, be well, stay safe. Have a good weekend. I'll see you at Hog tomorrow night and back here live on Monday night for the Raw stream. Take care, guys.